Good morning. Got a couple quick announcements this morning. Agape meeting on January 20th at 6:30. They will be meeting at the Barbecue Center on the 20th at 6:30. Worship and Music Committee will meet right after church service in the adult Sunday school class back in the back. The annual audit reports will be on February the 2nd, followed by a congregational meeting on February 23rd. You have January 26th, the Silly Youth will be going bowling at the Y from 1 to 3. And January 27th, Lutheran Men in Mission at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night the council will have a meeting starting at 6 o'clock here in the Fellowship Hall. Want to welcome Mr. Rod Crawford. A little bit about Rob. He is a candidate for the Word of Sacrament Ministry and served as an intern at Beck's Lutheran Church from 2016 to 19. He grew up at St. John's Lutheran Church and is currently studying at Hood Theological Seminary in Salisbury. He will graduate in May and is looking forward to approval and ordination. He and his wife Amy live in Salisbury and they have a son named Jack. So welcome, Mr. Crawford. Thank you.
I'm really glad to be here. I'm not going to give a speech. I just wanted to say while I had everybody's attention for a minute, thank you all for having me here this morning. I'm delighted to be here. And I've been around here before, but this is my first time being with you all this morning. So thank you for having me.
I have a special request this morning from Miss Judy. We ask that you pray, please pray for Lindsay's boyfriend. He is stationed at Fort Bragg. His name is Trinity Lutz. They call him Trent. He is a combat medic and has received orders to go to Kuwait. He is expected to be there for about a year, and that borders on the Iraqi border there. Lindsay is with him today as he is scheduled to leave this afternoon, I assume. So let's keep our thoughts and prayers for Trent as he serves the country. Birthdays for today. Your thoughts? Happy birthday today to Amy Fritz. We have no anniversaries. Let us pray, please. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, about all the days of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Edwina's daddy. One more announcement. Edwina's daddy was put into hospice sometime this week. So let's keep Edwina and the family in your prayers, please.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives us all our sin and whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your sons and daughters, and empower us all with your Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Could I invite the young folks up front to gather around the font for just a minute? Any brave souls? Hi there. Yeah, I know. He might bite me. I know. I understand. Y'all just kind of gather around over here around the font. Y'all know what this is? That's the baptismal font. Do any of y'all remember your baptism? You remember your baptism? Some people do. You remember yours? I don't remember mine because I was about that big. Why do we baptize? Anybody know? Well, let me ask you this. What are some symbols of baptism? Do you remember what we use to baptize with? We pour the water with? A shell. The shell is a symbol of new life. And so baptism is something that leads us to new life. There are other symbols. There's a dove. You probably have a dove in here on a banner there's not one on the window. But the dove is the symbol of new life too, because Noah sent that out and it came back, and that's God's promise for an abundant life in the future. Now, everybody, take your finger and just dip it in the water. Now, on your friend, not on you, but on your friend, make a cross on your forehead. There you go. There you go. Somebody, you need some help? Here, you want to do yours? There you go. Now, why do we do that? Anybody know why we do that? Well, we do that because it's a symbol of God's love for us. And today we're going to hear about Jesus being baptized. And Jesus' baptism is a lot like ours. Do y'all remember the story of the baptism? What happens at the baptism of Jesus? Yeah, well, the dove comes down and lights on Jesus. And what does God say? He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I take great delight." Now, how many of you have been introduced to somebody by your parents? Your parents will say, "This is my daughter." What's your name? Gracie. So your parents, will they say, "This is my daughter, Gracie"? What do? We name our children, right? Because we want everybody to know their name. Well, that's what God does with Jesus. That's what God does with us. He says, "This is my beloved Son. I tell my son, Jack, that he is my son, and I'm proud of him. And I tell him that every chance I get because I love him." So when we baptize, we become part of God's family with Jesus. Okay? Shh, that's right. Shh. That's right. Very important stuff we're talking about. Yeah. So, baptism is a symbol of us getting washed and cleaned by God and ready to take on whatever he has in store for us. And he will always guide us and lead us and be there to support us. And when we're part of a family, I got one more question for you. When you're part of your family, what does being part of a family mean? It means we help each other, right? Do you think y'all get to sit around and wait for your families to do stuff for you? No. No. I see some people nodding their heads. Well, it's a good thing I've got my back turned. So, so we do things to help our family, right? And baptism is the same thing. That cross that we drew on our heads reminds us that we are here to look after the other members of God's family and also all of God's children on earth. Okay, let's have a prayer. This will be a repeat after me prayer. Can y'all do that? I bet you can. Father, we thank you for our baptism and for making us your sons and daughters. Help us as we grow to love, feed, and rejoice with that family. Amen. Okay, thank you guys. I think y'all are going to children's time. Okay, great. Have a good time.
First reading comes from the book of Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teachings. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what becomes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord. Psalms for today is Psalms 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The second reading comes from the book of Acts. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper with us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I take great delight. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism of Jesus is one of the relatively rare events that all four Gospels report. There are some important distinctions in how they tell it, but all four do tell the story. And in Matthew, you get a sense of what an awkward story it is. I mean, after all, if Jesus is the Messiah, and in Matthew there are no angels or shepherds announcing him as such, just some wise men from the east who come to pay their respects. But if Jesus is the Messiah, why in the world would he need to be baptized by John? Or by anybody else, for that matter? If Jesus is the Son of God, why would he need it? And if he doesn't need it, why does he do it? How could it benefit him? I think part of our difficulty is the way we modern Americans tend to think of baptism. Most of us, when we think of John the Baptizer, think about repentance. We associate that and connect it to the forgiveness of sin, the axe at the root of the tree and the burning fire and all of that. But I would connect it a little bit differently. I would connect it with the Greek word epiphaneia, which means appearance or manifestation, and from which we get our word epiphany, to be revealed, in other words. And I make this connection because epiphany, and really repentance too, when you get down to it, both words suggest awakening. In other words, the beginning of a new way of being rather than the end of an old way. In Matthew, Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of his ministry. Today's gospel concludes with the pronouncement, Behold, this is my dear Son in whom I am delighted. Matthew knew the Old Testament prophets well, and he drew on them often. So it's not surprising that these words sound so much like God's words to Isaiah in our first reading. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, and upon whom I bestow my spirit. There's a lot more that we could say about how Matthew uses Isaiah to shape our picture of Jesus, but right now there's just this one thing. Jesus' baptism is not really so much about his being cleansed and purified, but about his being anointed for his upcoming ministry. Jesus is fulfilling all righteousness by embodying the story of Jewish identity. Matthew's already told us about his Jewish lineage. He has fled to Egypt. He has come back. And now here at his baptism, he symbolically passes through the waters of the Red Sea, just like his ancestors. From here he'll go on to the wilderness to wander and be tempted, and he will eventually come to the promised land to which God has called him. Let it be so for now, he says. His baptism reveals to him the people in a way in which they are reveals him to the people in a way with which they are culturally familiar and to which they can easily relate, so that later they'll be able to see its truth as something transformative. Okay, so even if you consider that a full and satisfactory explanation of Jesus' baptism, there's still a question. What does that mean for us? Or to put it another way, does it mean to us what it ought to mean? While the day itself is usually an important event, our emphasis often ends right there. I don't know many parents who remind their children of the date of their baptism or celebrate it with anything like the attention that we give to birthdays. And I'm no exception to this. I know about how old I was when I was baptized, but I can't tell you the date or the exact date off the top of my head. And not only that, but I can't even tell you off my head the date my son was baptized, and he's just 6 years old. And that's in a home where things like that matter, me being a prospective preacher and all. But there are plenty of people who go through the motions of baptisms for the sake of tradition or for the sake of a spouse or a parent or a grandparent. People who don't really, or I should probably say people who aren't able to really appreciate what it is that's actually going on in it. Amid all our customary focus on baptism as a washing away of sin, it's easy for us to miss it as an overwhelming and empowering gift of God's grace. It isn't just a mechanism of forgiveness, it's the gift of identity, both for Jesus and for us. At his baptism, Jesus is given his identity. It's where he learns definitively who he is in relation to whose he is. His ministry proceeds from that gift, and everything he does is predicated on it. When Satan tempts him in the wilderness, notice carefully that it's his identity that the devil considers vulnerable to attack. He says, "If you are the Son of God, then do this or command such and such." And it's by having a clear sense of his identity that Jesus is able to resist temptation and take on his mission. And that's where his story and ours intersect. Because we too can only live into the life God has called us to when we understand that we are also his beloved children. As with Jesus, in our baptisms, we discover who we are by hearing whose we are. Because in baptism, we are adopted into a covenant with God, and that covenant includes all people, and indeed all creation. Without it, we may be living organisms, but we're really nothing more than that. We're just evolutionarily successful biology, born to seek our advantage and thrive and survive if we can, without any real connection to each other or to the rest of life. And baptism is what gives us that connection, because through it, we shed our merely biological skin, or our fallen condition is what we used to call it, and we're reborn, joined to the body of Christ. In other words, we are named. And names are powerful things. Some are given to us, some we take for ourselves, some lift us up, many tear us down. We all crave a sense of identity, and there's so many sources nowadays from which we can be tempted to derive or construct one. Few of them are life-giving, none are redemptive. We live in a culture that promises us acceptance on condition, often tied to some product or service or some possession that we're encouraged to buy. Acceptance as long as we are blank enough, as long as we're skinny enough, as long as we're strong enough, or smart enough, or successful enough, or beautiful enough, or popular enough, 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 enough. Some names, no matter how long ago they were uttered, still dog our memories and haunt our sense of who we are. Loser, geek, fatty, others much uglier by far. But these names are not the names that define us. What defines us is the name given to us by God, because that's where God says, "No, that's not your name. Your name is Christian, and I've marked you with my cross and bestowed my spirit upon you, and I take great delight in you, and you are my beloved child forever." Because to God we are always enough. He adopts us and makes us his heirs and does wonderful things in us and through us. And like Jesus, we are his sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. Confession of sin is a time to remember that. Holy Communion is a time to celebrate it. The benediction is a time to go forth and live it. The peace of Christ is the empty cross. The work of salvation is done. And so eternal life is not something that comes later that we just wait around for, but something that has begun and which is ongoing. That peace is doing rather than just being. It involves participating in the proclamation that the kingdom of God is at hand. So in large part, the gift of identity and affirmation that we receive at our baptism is a gift to others through us. It's the call to each of us to let God send us from in here to out there so that we can help others receive the gift of their baptism and nudge all things toward the totality of God's love. We each have a baptismal responsibility to sustain each other and help each other listen for the whispers of the Holy Spirit. so that we may all become who and what God intends. Life is one long lesson in this. Life is one long lesson in love. God is in everything. His creation is ongoing. His activity is unceasing. His will is supreme. His love is eternal. All we have to do is inhabit that love as best we can, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. We begin at our baptism, and all the rest is by the way. When we get up every morning, may we give thanks to God and pray, "I am your beloved child, and I will honor that love by living as Christ loves the world." Amen.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Called together through water and the word, let us pray for the whole people of God and Christ Jesus, those in need, and all of God's creation. Renewing God, we thank you for the gift of baptism. Give your church the boldness to proclaim your promise. Tear down the obstacles of injustice so that your word of hope reaches the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, we rejoice in the glory of your creation, even as we mourn the devastation in Australia. Have mercy on your people and bring them healing, rebuilding, and renewal. Bring restoration to this earth you have made and free us from our abuses of it. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace,
We thank you for order in the midst of war and rumor of war. Purge from our hearts the seeds of strife, ill will, and thirst for vengeance. Guide the leaders of our nation in your wisdom and raise them up as servants of your will. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, we thank you for the healing we witnessed through the miracle of modern medicine. Sustain in hope those who worry for ailing loved ones, and visit your healing on all who are ill, especially those on our prayer list and those whom we now name aloud or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, unleash your spirit to increase our trust in you and your means rather than ourselves and our means. Help us each day to live into the fullness of our covenant with you, giving thanks for the saints we have known and loved, whose baptismal witness has touched and shaped our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also
with you. Let us share his peace.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You. Oh,
wait, we need to have the offering. We need to bring, yeah. Let's try that again. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all the nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Pastor Talent blessed this Holy Communion. He reminded us that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remember us in your kingdom, O God, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the gifts of God for the people of God. Come now to the banquet, for all is ready. Please stand as you are able. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us, now and forever. Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed today with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you in grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Mission statement be found on page 5. As united people under the
guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace, serve the Lord.